Joining us will be Brent Barrett of Lindy College Sports Notebook as well. You can check him out, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville, First Coast News, and more. Brent, really where to start from the weekend, but since you guys are right there in your own backyard in Jacksonville and had an NFL game, you know, hey, good one right there for the Saints fans and Jameis, and I hope the Saints fans weren't too loud and partying and taking over the Jacksonville the roadways and bars after the game.
likely the two best teams in that stadium probably the rest of the year, Chan.
Well, I don't know if we can say that anymore with Green Bay, but, I mean, yeah, they definitely – that was just a blunder, and it's a long season. And Aaron Rodgers, even though him and – it really is one of those kind of things, Brent, what you're seeing in Green Bay, and it's so apparently clear, is you're seeing, like, you know when you have, like, a good basketball team, but – if like LeBron James and Anthony Davis are just arguing or the players aren't getting along with each other, and you can just see the locker room chemistry, they don't talk to each other. That whole Tom Brady, Belichick, Kraft thing that was going on with Garoppolo, like right now, Rodgers and LaFleur and all that, like they don't like each other. You could tell the whole entire chemistry right now, and it's like two people trying to be right, and they're both young, and LaFleur is this innovative mind that feels like he can do it, and then you have Rodgers, who's the MVP, and he's been there, and it just – it's so apparently clear that they just don't like each other right now. But can they fix it? If anybody can, well, a team that was one play away from the Super Bowl and the defending MVP, if he says it's one game, I'm going to believe him.
Well, they really, and you can also see they've spent very little time together, frankly, working on anything. So the body language is terrible.
It was awful.
That also it tells you a lot, but I can tell you it wasn't any better than the hometown team who were playing the Texans yesterday.
And we're going to talk college football, but just because you brought that up, Urban Meyer is more college football and Trevor Lawrence when we talk about their mindsets. But what's going on? Because we got an article and Jeffrey D. We were talking about. Did you send that one or
yeah,
did you? Okay,
yeah,
so
that,
Drew
that was,
sent
that was me.
It. Okay,
I found
then
it.
You, no, go ahead then. It's,
well,
yeah,
it,
yeah.
It was a report essentially that said Urban doesn't. He's not fit out to be coaching a team that is losing it and is rebuilding as much as they are. They said that he gets triggered easily after a loss, and I don't know how much fact is in the article.
We've seen that at Florida.
Well, I was going to say, to be honest, he's used to coaching a program that is winning all the time.
No, he's clearly the guy that does get triggered the most, and he leaves programs when it looks bad. I mean, yeah, it's clear.
And they don't look very good, yeah.
No, and the problem with this is they, according to the article, too, and I mean, we've heard this, that there have been times where Urban is just not related well to the players, particularly. Now the article is saying he doesn't relate that well to his coaches. Well, I mean, he handpicked his coaches, and the reality is this team's just not any good. they thought they'd get Trevor Lawrence as the first pick, and the mentality here has always been amazing, that they would go to the playoffs after that. This team, guys, is a 3-year at minimum rebuilding project. They don't have a defense. They don't have receivers. They don't have an offensive line to protect Lawrence. So, look, it's gonna be a very, very long year for them. They've got Denver next, and then they play Arizona, who would be able to name the score.
Well, let's get to some college action. Brent, talking about, we'll start with Georgia. Stetson Bennett, it seemed like we're going back to 2020, which I don't want to ever say again. But, you know, Stetson Bennett got a chance last year. He had a couple of those wow games. We were like, where'd this guy come from? At one point was like fifth string on the roster and moved his way all the way up. He had a chance to go out there. And when you go 10 for 12 for 288 yards and 5 touchdowns, I mean, you really can't have a better performance than that. And he did it against UAB, but UAB is not one of those teams that you pay a bunch of money to beat. The week before, they beat Jacksonville State by 5 touchdowns, who beat Florida State. But when you look at Georgia, was that a game where is there actually going to be some controversy of who should be the starter now, or is that a, hey, good for you, Stetson, and we're moving on?
That's all it is. Stetson came off the bench. He played well. Give him a lot of credit. Can't ignore the numbers. But at the same time, that's all this is. Kirby's not going to let this be any kind of a controversy, similar to what Mullen's going through at Florida. Listen, the Brock Bowers, a tight end, has been really impressive. They're incredibly defensively. They will continue that this week with South Carolina, who they will end up almost naming the score with that one, too. Once Georgia's offense catches up with its defense, that's going to be very tough for the league.
Yeah, their defense is brutal and gives them a shot in every game. Bowers looked amazing. I pointed him out before the show how awesome he looked. It's like gazelle speed for his size at 6'4". But to bring that back up with Florida, with Anthony Richardson, I was listening to the Feinbaum show, and I always tell people, don't try to base your IQ or try to learn anything from the callers of the Feinbaum show. They might be good people and good parents, but you know, a lot of times they. I heard a guy break down why a raccoon got stuck in the HVAC the other day. Now, if you look at the situation though at Florida, there was like 9 people that called in. Feinbaum, same answer. He's like, well, maybe the coach doesn't know as much as we expect, you know. But everybody is pretty much saying Anthony Richardson is better than Emory Jones. Look, we get paid for this, Brent. We've talked 17 years on air together, and we both. I mean, I respect the heck out of what you do. I think you respect my quality of when I talk about somebody in a high regard. And I remember every one from when you were talking about Dak Prescott before he was even the quarterback at Mississippi State. But when you look right now at a guy like Emory Jones compared to Anthony Richardson, Richardson, I'm not saying, is a world beater when it comes to throwing downfield. And if you put him against Alabama, he has a chance to win the game this week. I'm just saying he's better than Emory Jones, and it's pretty clear.
Well, it is. But here's what you've got in this situation. Mullen recruited Emory Jones. He was one of his first recruits. And he is loyal to guys like Emory Jones. And the other thing that's involved with this, and I don't think anybody's thought about it, is the fact that these coaches now, Chad, are also loyal to these guys trying to protect their name, image, and likeness situation. So I think you've got some of that going on. There's no doubt Richardson at 6'4", 240 is the better prospect. But I think what you've got here is because of the loyalty that Mullen has got toward Jones, he is probably going to go with Jones to start the game. I think he'll play both of them. Richard's not perfect, and he also doesn't have a perfect hamstring right now either, from what we understand. But Richard is much more efficient, with just the few carries that he has and the few passes that he's thrown. He's a real talent, as a matter of fact. And Matt Hayes, who I have a lot of respect for, who is a tremendous football writer, also works for 1010XL here, said in his column today, Chad, Richardson will win a national championship before he leaves Florida.
Would you say that's a bold statement?
That's bold. That's somebody's opinion.
The interesting thing, and I'll ask you, Brent, about this, is it seems like Anthony Richardson, not that Emory Jones doesn't, but it seems like Anthony Richardson has a little bit more of that it factor to him, that spark.
He does. He does.
Is that something that, whether if Florida find a way to manage to be around, you know, in the third quarter for whatever reason, or even the fourth quarter, is having a guy like Anthony Richardson, if he's available to play, and say Emory's playing okay, but Anthony Richardson could be used to give a spark, is that something that you think Dan Mullen could utilize in order for them to try to pull off something that I don't think a lot of people are
able
to?
Game's over by halftime if you do that against Alabama. I mean, are we talking about like going forward or?
Oh, I'm talking if you're in the game in the third quarter or something and you need a spark.
That's a big if, though. Yeah. That's what. Okay.
I'm just saying if there's a possibility, I guess if you were to take, do you think they have?
If they're in the game, that means Emory Jones is playing well, though. I know it. Sorry, we're getting in the middle of an argument with Brent. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying if Emory Jones is playing okay, but you know that Richardson could come in and provide something that maybe Emory Jones can't.
I just don't get why we're not starting him. I don't get that. I know the loyalty thing, but
I'm with you. This is something like Brent said. This is dated back to even media days where Dan Mullen's like Emory Jones is my guy. Period. He puts a period at the end of the statement. Maybe that's out of ignorance or out of just sheer loyalty. But do you think Anthony Richardson would give them a better chance to win the game, regardless of if he's got a bad hamstring or not, Brent, as opposed to Emory Jones?
Well, let me give you this scenario. If Bama's up, say, 28-10, 28-14, and Florida's not doing a whole lot, and he puts Richardson in, is Richardson capable of cutting it to 28-21? Either on a long run or because he's more accurate as a quarterback. Oh yeah, I think that's possible. Now the question is going to be, if something like that happened, what would Mullen do? And listen, you appreciate this, both of you, but I've had Gator fans say the issue they've got with Mullen sometimes is, particularly in quarterbacks. If you tell Mullen the other guy's better, he'll keep his guy in just to be stubborn.
He is. He does seem a little stubborn, but you know what? He's a good mind, but the thing with Dan Mullen, you know, to your point, I'm just looking at my dad's going to the game. I think Jeffrey D. I want to go to the game, but I think we got a lot of stuff going on here. Once football season happens, it really sleeping around here is optional. But when it comes down to and you know the drill, Brent. I mean, it's but the thing is, we're like Destin or like Panama City, you know, during like from winter compared to what it's like in March and April, like for spring break. Like you can go by there and it's a ghost town during like December, but then you'll have people in lines for 4-hour waits at restaurants. That's like our football season compared to like in June.
Yes.
But when it comes down to this, we have to understand, though, there are so many people going to that. To me, this Florida game is – to me, like a national title for them playing against Alabama. Now, Alabama doesn't look like that because every week they're like, whoever we play, we should dispose of.
Yes.
However, though, for Gators, they're going to get 100,000 out there at Ben Hill. It's going to be packed. The swamp's going to be rocking. If you decide, I wouldn't do it today, but if you did it on Friday or even Saturday morning, like when game day is there, and you make the announcement, like Lee Corso or somebody, Lee wouldn't make the announcement, but Herb Street and Reese Davis, they make the announcement. Dan Mullen has officially announced Anthony Richardson will start. Huh. You want to talk about how the crowd and the energy, because every Gator fan in the world right now feels, outside of Dan Mullen, that Anthony Richardson's the real deal, and everybody knows that he's better than Emory Jones. So if you I'm just feeling like you saw the energy, and I'm not saying against Jacksonville State, Brent,
sure,
but the energy, what we saw with Mackenzie Milton compared to Jordan Travis at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
There was just, you had fans like rocking. Almost the stadium started shaking because college football is the only sport outside of a couple college basketball arenas that you can actually do that, where your energy levels of one player that's getting the team excited can actually change and help your team win a game. I mean, like, to a point that it's that loud, that it's that insane. And, you know, they're just kids. So what I'm saying is Alabama knows they're winning, but if they go in there and that happens, some of these kids, for the first time, they're seeing an environment like that, and they know that if they have one slip up, it's going to get louder in there. I'm just saying, if you start Emory Jones, there's going to be that, hey, we're already done. We're going to get we're going to be down by three. Well, at least we can drink in the parking lot. I'm just saying, if they can do this and did that somehow, to me, it would change the whole mindset of the biggest game of their year.
I think what he'll probably do with the media and also with his call-in show will probably be saying, yeah, well, we're going to give both of them a shot in order to play, but I don't know if he'll even say if Jones will start, but I think the reality is in this situation, and it may not be the Alabama game, but it may be some game along the way, and the good thing for them is the Alabama game is not a divisional game, so that helps them to that degree, but it also says at some point, Richard may be playing so well and the team may be responding to the point where he doesn't have much of a choice except to start him. But I think he's going to give Jones every chance that he can give him to prove that he can get the job done.
Yeah, so jumping to there were a couple of games that I think stood
out. Well, can
out.
I bring it real quickly before?
Yeah,
no,
sure.
I'm just going to throw this in.
Go ahead.
Perspective for the people who aren't Gator fans, though, real quick. Richardson on three passes had more yards and touchdowns than Jones had on 22 passes.
Sure.
So go ahead. Yeah. Now it's your turn.
Including that 175-yard bomb. But, okay, yeah. So it's interesting looking at the way that the SEC is shaping up in regard. Kentucky have looked solid. Of course, they beat Missouri. At home, but Levis has looked good. Arkansas have looked very good. KJ Jefferson, not particularly great, but Arkansas have been able to get the job done. Traylon Smith has been fantastic, and of course a big win over Texas over the weekend, and then Texas A&M has struggled a little bit. I think we're seeing a little bit of a seismic shift in the SEC by any means, but Arkansas look really good. Texas A&M haven't looked great, and Kentucky are a team that maybe could surprise some folks.
Well, Kentucky with an actual passing attack, it really got a big win over Missouri, and that was a divisional game. Huge win for Arkansas. I mean, they rushed the field and got fined. Listen, they'd be glad to pass the hat among the fans or raise that kind of money to pay for the fine. But again, I agree. KJ Jefferson looked better. They were able to run the ball. We don't know yet how good Texas is. And I think that is something that's up in the air. A&M at this point has got to be careful. King is out. Now, what we understand with a fractured foot, that he will be out until mid-October. They play Bama on the 9th. My question is, will he be back before then? Cal Zeta got a little bit better as it went along at that point, too. But I tell you guys, Mississippi State and Memphis is a really good game. And the other thing you got to look at is that Auburn-Penn State game, a whiteout at Penn State, that's going to be a fascinating game. And I can tell you, Auburn's first two foes have not prepared them for that game at all.
Oh no, well, no. I mean, they was 60-10 against Akron, and then 62-0 against Alabama State. I mean, so you're talking about two inferior opponents completely. Not to say that they don't have a shot against Penn State. I mean, they obviously do, but in terms of preparation, I think you're spot on with that. Penn State, and I believe game day is there, correct? In a Happy Valley,
they will be there. Yes. Good point.
Well, and that's going to be fun. I think there's. You know, Auburn right now we don't know enough about. All we know is that their confidence level is higher than the way that the preseason predictions had them around Mississippi State, you know. So I think they're a little bit higher, but they've proven nothing yet against you could take it out on teams that are bad. You know, like if you have – I mean, look at Oklahoma. I feel bad for Western Carolina. We have a quarterback around here, Kaysen Linko, played at Pace, and he had a chance to play. He didn't play for Western Carolina, but he's on that team. And Oklahoma was the game where after the Tulane situation where I was like, oh, maybe this team's not that good. And they were like, okay, yeah, 76-0 later against them. Sometimes you can put a trouncing on a team if you don't want to take the gas pedal off. That's why Nick Saban, you know, everybody talks about how Nick Saban, legendary as a coach, he is. Brent, you know that he is not covered. He barely covers any spreads ever in his 16-something years because he doesn't take it out on Mercer. When people said 48-18, you think for a second that Mercer's as good as Miami? Yeah, like, that's the same score. He could have beat them 100-0 if he wanted.
Yeah,
he just doesn't coach that way. Well, Brent, I appreciate it. That during football season, there's about 8 billion things. We get to the Kentucky win, any of that, but we are up against a break. Always appreciate your time, my friend, and look forward to reading more. Got your notes, and we'll be going over them tomorrow, and looking forward to talking to you again next week, my friend.
Good. Me too, guys. Take care.